Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
And today we're going to be talking about several things, but one of which is a Navy chaplain, Wes Motter, who says the best thing for the church is persecution. Imagine that. This is a Navy chaplain who just went through the fires of all kinds of attack just for simply telling the truth, what the Bible says. His job was threatened. His livelihood was threatened. A 19-year career was on the line because someone didn't like the counsel that he was given, was giving through the Word of God. Listen, this is the times that we're about approaching right now. They're going to test men's souls. They're really going to find out what's on the inside of us. And this Navy chaplain shares his testimony of how he, what he experienced and how he made it through and why he says that persecution is the best thing for those that follow Jesus. Watch this.
Turning now to a story CBN has been following since it began, the case of embattled chaplain Wes Motter. Paul Strand recently had a chance to sit down with him and see how he's doing after a two-star admiral completely exonerated him.
Lieutenant Commander Wes Motter never expected counseling service members on what the Bible says would put him in the fight of his life. But that's what happened after a group of those he counseled complained about what he had to say on subjects like homosexuality and other sexual matters.
It was shocking. You feel a lot of emotion. You know, you feel natural feelings like betrayal.
His opponents at Joint Base Charleston in South Carolina didn't just want this Assemblies of God pastor corrected. They were after his job and his military pension, too.
They wanted to kick me out, remove me from a promotion list. You know, having a family with four children, not knowing what I'm going into, sacrificing 19 years of honorable military service, all of it was on the line, everything.
Then recently, his attorney, Michael Berry, got surprising news from the Navy. Motter was cleared of all the charges.
When we found out that the Navy, that this two-star admiral had completely exonerated Chaplain Motter, First, I was blown away. It was not what I was expecting. I was preparing myself for a dogfight.
Berry said he was elated and could hardly wait to tell Motter the good news. The chaplain and his family were overjoyed, but he admits he's still hurting.
There is a huge sense of victory and relief, but the emotional capital is overwhelming.
Still, this chaplain says as more and more Christians face similar battles over their beliefs, they're going to have to fight because the cause is crucial.
I think it's paramount. I think the best thing for the church is persecution. And I know that sounds counterintuitive, but we need to stand for religious liberty. It's not really about bakers, and it's not really about florists. It's about validating something that is national.
Berry says he's distressed by the un-American nature of this Christian persecution.
It could be people of any other faiths too, but unfortunately right now the majority of attacks are coming against Christians in this country. That's not what our country is about.
As a combat veteran, Berry's particularly frustrated. Military commanders are thrust into the middle of these battles.
When a commanding officer has to worry about whether or not somebody in his unit is going to be offended because a chaplain is praying or because a chaplain dares to speak from their religious worldview to another service member, that commanding officer is now, his attention and his focus is taken away from the external threat, and he has to worry about things that he should never have to worry about.
Motter and his family will soon be out of the uncomfortable environment he found himself in at Joint Base Charleston. They're transferring to one of their favorite duty stations, San Diego. Paul Strand, CBN News.
Wow, what a testimony. Think about this. Here you have a military personnel who's fighting for our freedoms. His freedom was attacked. How could this be? Listen, this is a time for us to start to awaken to the reality that Christians are being persecuted all over the country. They have been persecuted for many years all over the world, but now what we're seeing in America really is unprecedented. And it's time for us to really understand and get a grasp of reality. I mean, Jesus said himself, he said, "In this world you will have tribulations." He told us that we were going to face persecutions. But he says, you know what? Cheer up, because I've overcome the world. And it's so important that as we face these difficult days, that we walk with Jesus, that we don't jump on the bandwagon of causes and different things like that, but we need to be about the Father's business, advancing the kingdom of heaven. And listen, the model, it hasn't changed. You know, heaven full, hell empty. And we need to do all that we can with the life that we have to continue to advance God's kingdom. Listen, there's so many people on the face of this earth that do not know Jesus. And the question is that if they do not come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, they will experience hell for eternity. And so if we as believers are going to face some persecution for standing for the truth, if we're going to face persecution for helping others come into the kingdom, that's a price that we must be willing to pay. I remember hearing of a story about the Chinese church and how they face persecution and still today face tons of persecution from their government. And a believer in the West, in America, was saying, listen, we're praying to end your persecution in China, that the Christians will no longer be persecuted. And the Christian, the Chinese Christian said, no, please, please don't pray for that. It has helped us tremendously. The Chinese church has grown. The underground church, by some estimates and some reports, are 130 million strong. Listen, they don't need any special songs or any kind of encouragement to pray. They pray all the time. They're serious about their walk, and they're devout followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if persecution, the one side effect, the one benefit of going through a trial like this is begins to help us to question, what am I living for? And am I, the things that I'm living for, are they worth Jesus dying for? Many times we live life as if we're going to live forever, or we have many years. We have all these plans, and at the end of the day, so many people die with regret. And I'm speaking of believers. They wish, I would have done more for God, because it's all over. Listen, today's the day for us to seize the moment and to say, you know what, God, if I'm going to suffer, you know, just for being a follower of you, well, then that's just the way it's going to be. But I'm not going to live a simple life away from any kind of persecution, shy away from the truth. I'm going to walk with you, and I want to tell everyone about Jesus. And we get more back from this break. We're going to talk about a young girl in Uganda and what she was willing to go through because she refused to deny Jesus.
If you missed one of our previous programs, we were talking about literally the persecution of the Jews right now with a potential third intifada where they're experiencing stabbings and being hacked with machetes. Mm-hmm. I mean, craziness. And yet, at the same time, we're seeing persecution for Christians like we've never seen it before in areas that we've never seen it, in America, in the military, no less. And that just causes you to say, what is happening? What's going on? And what is my response? Because persecution may be coming knocking at my door. Mm-hmm. And how am I going to respond to this? Because there's only one or two, you know, one or two ways. You could either run from the persecution and kind of don't do the things that's going to cause you to be persecuted, you know, like status quo and just kind of mingle and just compromise. Maybe there's then you're not going to face persecution. But if you stand for truth, and you walk with God just for being a believer, you're going to experience some things. Mm-hmm. You're going to experience it. And it happens everywhere. I mean, it could happen right now with the Jews. It's happening where they're being physically attacked. But it could, a lot of times it happens kind of institutionalized where, especially at workplace, I've come across so many believers these days that are actually terrified of standing for the truth because of what's going to happen at their workplace. Listen, mm-hmm. if you lose your job, it will be okay. You know, either God gave you the mm-hmm. job or he didn't. And I'm not advocating that you cause trouble or, you know, pick a cause and feel like you have to, you know, get everyone else straight because God didn't call us to do that. Mm-hmm. But if for your own personal walk with God, if you're being asked to compromise, if you're being asked to do something that would cause you to sin, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. And it may mean that you may lose mm-hmm. status. It may mean that you may lose employment. But in the scheme of things, does that really matter?
Yeah.
Because we're going to face him one day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm trying to spare you the embarrassment of not wanting to go through persecution because you're going to lose a job. You know what I mean? That's probably not something you're going to want to look at the Lord later on about. This is the time to really understand and to check our motives. Why are we doing what we're doing? And it causes me to think about, Steve, a story about a young girl in Uganda and the price she was willing to pay so that she would not deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. It is challenging. It is sobering. It is real. And I want you to watch it because I want you to hear this story and just let God speak to you as you hear it, because it's so moving, and I think it's timely for the hour. Watch this.
You shall not use the Lord's name in vain. Hallowed be thy name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. There's power in the name of Jesus. Take the third commandment, for example. You shall not use the Lord's name in vain. For years, I simply thought that meant not swearing or cursing using the Lord's name, but I stumbled across a simple but incredible realization, because a more literal translation of that commandment actually reads, "You shall not use the name of Yahweh for worthlessness. You shall not use the name of Yahweh casually, complacently, without respect, without value." It's the moment in time I realized that I actually break this commandment all the time. And more often than not, I break it at church. How much value, how much worth do you place on the name of Jesus? As I thought through this, it reminded me of a girl called Susan from Uganda. She's 14 years old and from a strictly Islamic family. One day a visiting speaker came to her school. He spoke about this guy called Jesus, who claimed he was the Son of God and had come to save the world. And right there, Susan decided to give her life to Jesus. When she got home, her father found out and he was furious. In fact, on one occasion in broad daylight, he grabbed Susan and her younger brother and dragged them outside. He held a knife to their throat and said, "Susan, if you do not stop going to church and worshiping God, I will kill you and your brother." But Susan didn't stop. Her father grabbed her. He took her to a room in their house and placed a mat on the floor. He told Susan to sit on that mat and do not move until you are willing to deny Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Her father turned around, walked out of the room, and locked the door. Susan's father didn't return to that room for 3 months. The only way Susan survived was that while her father was out, her brother would dig a hole under the door. He would pour water into it for Susan to lap up. On occasion, he would fry up some banana and slide that under the door to his sister. After about 3 months, the neighbors began to wonder where Susan was, and they asked her brother. He told them, and they immediately called the police. When they came, they opened the door and they found Susan. She was sitting on the mat. She was alive, but only just. You see, the bones in her legs had begun to grow and conform to the way she had been sitting, and she weighed 20 kilos. They grabbed her and rushed her to hospital, where they began to rehabilitate her. When Susan was asked why she hadn't tried to escape, why she hadn't even left the mat, without missing a beat, she replied, "Because my father said if I was to leave that mat, I would be denying Jesus, and I couldn't do that." Worthlessness. It never even seemed to cross her mind, did it? This is exactly what the third commandment is about. A faith driven by a passion for God that realizes not only to be in relationship with Him, but to be able to call on His name is among the most sacred privileges we have as Christians. A privilege the world can't conceive, and a privilege that we so often take for granted. You shall not use the name of Yahweh for worthlessness. Susan wouldn't. Do you?
Wow. Susan. Are we casually... This is the stuff that we have to really look at today. Are we casually using the name of Christ? Do not take the name of the Lord God in vain, Yahweh in vain, worthless, casual. And it really causes and challenges you to say, you know, what is a Christian? You know, today people walk around with crosses on their jackets, their blouses, they're around their necks. We go to our fellowships and then we kind of check in and check out and we say they were Christians, but Susan found out that there was a price to pay for carrying the name of Christ. Think about that. There was a price to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And she was willing to suffer than to deny Jesus. And it makes me want to think, Steve. I mean, today it seems like believers, particularly in America, we pass out if there's no air conditioning. We pass out if the chair doesn't have enough cushion. We can't sit or stand for any length of period of time. We measure our fellowships by all of these worldly things that bear no spiritual significance whatsoever. And I wonder that when we face persecution, if we're blessed to face persecution, will we be able to stand?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I personally feel so challenged. I mean, you're looking at a picture right now of Susan. Understand that her father said, I want you to sit on this mat. And I don't want you to get up from this mat until you're ready to deny Jesus. She sat there for 90 days, 3 months. And she was able to survive because her brother brought her some food underneath the door. She lapped up water like a dog. And she sat there for so long that her bones formulated in the position that she was sitting. And we can't read our Bibles? It's reported by some reports that every American Christian American has about 4.7 Bibles per household. Yet George Barna reports that 81% of Christians don't even read their Bibles. Of the 19% that do, only 3% feel responsible for their own spiritual development. And ask the average believer today, what is the word of the Lord? What is God saying to you today? And it's like, well, my pastor preached on... No. What did God tell you Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, we have to be, you know, you take the word Christian and you're like, what does that mean today? I like the word follower of Christ. Because what does that mean? It means we follow Him in everywhere. Are we perfect? No, I'm certainly not. I needed Jesus before I'm asked, don't need Jesus now. But my aim is to be a follower, to be devoted to Him. You know, people say they love. The question is not, do you love Jesus? Are you in love with Him? God is looking for those who will radically give their lives for Him. Listen, what Jesus did for you on the cross is His gift to you. But what you do with your life right now, for however long you're going to live on this earth, is your gift to Him. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to unpack and talk about this more, because persecution is on the rise.
Mm-hmm.
And you will not stand, I'm afraid, like Susan was willing to stand for Christ if you don't intimately know him and are walking with him and are committed to him. We were just watching, just joining us. You got to catch today's program. My goodness, Susan in Uganda, a believer, a sister, a dear follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was willing to sit for 90 days on a mat because her father told her that if you would get up from this mat, you were going to deny Jesus Christ. And she sat there to her own physical detriment. I mean, her bones formulated in the position that she was sitting for 90 days. Mm-hmm. But she would not, Steve, deny Jesus Christ. And I'm concerned that today in America, we have a lot of believers, people that say they're believers. You know, today there's coming a day where being a Christian is going to, identifying yourself as a Christian is going to cost you. But that's always been the case. I mean, mm-hmm. we look at back at Matthew 10 when Jesus was talking to the disciples. He said, I'm sending you out. I'm sending you out. And on my account, you will be brought before governors and kings. This is Matthew 10:18. On my account, you'll be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, I mean, today, like, what did you just
arrest,
say?
Yeah.
But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you'll be given what to say. And it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. It says, brother will betray brother and father, his child. Children will rebel against their parents and put them to death. And you will be hated by everyone because of me. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And the thing is, are we just liked too much?
Mm-hmm.
He says, everyone will hate you. But today, it's like every believer wants to be liked. Everyone wants to put something sweet on their Facebook. Everybody wants to give a nice Christian status. But are we being too liked? And I'm not saying be disliked for being, you know, doing foolish things and saying foolish things, hurtful things. I'm saying because you're willing to stand for Christ and not deny him, not deny him at work, not deny him in the public square, not deny him with your actions in front of your own family.
Mm-hmm. You know, thinking about, you know, as we're saying this, I don't know who specifically said it. And it's like, there are no lukewarm Christians in China.
Yeah, I bet. Or in the Middle East.
Yeah. And in the face of, you know, we just talked about in early in the program about Wes Motter, who's a lieutenant colonel in the Navy. And he, just like you're saying, he's just willing to unwaveringly talk about what the Bible says and give someone counseling in the face of repeated criticism. And you had said before is that for some reason, when someone gets any feedback in the workplace, immediately they stop talking about Jesus. And it causes me to ask this question that, imagine you were to walk into a workplace or you're to walk into an employer and you're having an interview and they say, we don't talk about family here, no pictures of spouses, no pictures of children. How many people would immediately say, I will have no part of that. I am who I am and I'm going to talk about my family. But for some reason that when it comes to Jesus, there is this gray area. And Jesus expects devout commitment to him. And you said before.
But don't we even talk about that,
exactly.
that commitment anymore. Is
exactly.
that even something that's even preached or shared about?
Right. And that's the thing is like, we cannot run from these difficulties because that's when it expresses how much I am devoted to him.
Right.
Because he paid the ultimate cost for me. Why should I ever think that I can do anything less than that than give my entire life for him?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, for so long we've been preaching a no lordship gospel that says, you can accept Jesus as Savior, but mm-hmm. this whole Lord thing, this boss thing, I'm not too sure. That's you know, that's suspect. You can decide on what you want him to be Lord about it. The truth is that if God, Jesus, is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all mm-hmm. in your life. And we accept him as Savior and Lord. That means he's the boss of our lives. That the life that we live now forever is going to be found in him. And we want to be able to start asking ourselves. To me, the question is, if you're sitting today and wondering, you know, would I be able to stand? You know, would I be able to make it? And for some reason, we have a tendency to allow people to passively say, well, you know, I don't know. And we don't see a commitment, an attitude that says, listen, I am going to give my whole heart to God. Doesn't mean we don't stumble. Doesn't mean that we don't make any mistakes. It means that I'm living in pursuit of Him. Mm-hmm. And the question is, would we in any other part of our relationship in life, if who wants to play on a sports team with someone that says, well, I'm not really interested in winning. I want to put the uniform on and I want to be part of the, you know.
I want to look like everybody else.
Yeah, I want to be part of the team. Right. You know, I want to go out there and, you know, get the hand claps and the accolades and the attaboys and attagirls, but, you know, I'm not really committed to, you know, putting a lot of effort into this game or risking getting hurt.
I don't
want
to give up anything.
Yeah, I just kind of want to be in the crowd. Instantly, we would tell that person, maybe this is not for you. Yeah. You're not on this team, and it would be an injustice for you to put on this uniform, you know, because you're not willing to pay the price. You don't want to go to practice. You don't want to develop. You don't want to put anything in. But for some reason, we tolerate that, and we're not willing to have the tough conversations with people that we care about and be able to challenge them in our walk. That's the benefit that we have of having brothers and sisters. I mean, the proverb says that as iron sharpens iron, so one brother sharpens another. Like, where's the sharpening today? Mm-hmm. Two dull knives can't sharpen anything. But we can come into a relationship with someone where we can begin to start challenging each other on our walk and saying, listen, how deep is our love? Persecution is here. And I'm afraid that many are going to start turning, you know, against their own family members, against their own people. And it's like, you don't want to be one of those.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that in the last days, the love of many will grow cold. And believe me, if they don't love Jesus, their level of love for you is not going to be anything. I mean, if you can deny the Lord, it's nothing to deny a parent. It's nothing to deny a child. It's nothing to deny a grandparent. Nothing. If you can deny the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we want to challenge you today. I feel extremely challenged when I look at the life of Susan and so many believers. Our brothers and sisters in the Middle East that have risked their lives, Egypt, Iraq, Iran. They say the fastest growing part of the church right now is in Iran. Why? Because it cost them something. When people get baptized in many of these countries, they're completely disowned. And they make a serious, all-out commitment to the Lord. And it's okay to question yourself. The Bible says to examine ourselves to see if we're even still in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to do an examination and to say, what's cut in on me?
Mm-hmm.
What has happened in my walk that I just don't feel that passion anymore? What's cut in on me that I don't feel that sense of urgency? What's cut in on me that I don't even feel like reading my Bible anymore? What's cut in on me that my conversation with my friends and the things that I think about and the things I watch on TV, and it's just, Jesus wouldn't even tolerate this stuff. Mm-hmm. What has happened to me? It's okay to ask those questions. And it's also okay to talk about something that I think rarely gets talked about these days, is the actual word confession. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins, right? 1 John 1:9.
Mm-hmm.
But the word confess, Steve, means to admit. It means to say, yes, it was me. Mm-hmm. Yes, I failed here. And I think a lot of times we become dismissive and we don't look at the reality of, I've sinned here before God. Sin is real, and it will separate you from God. We need to come humbly before God and reevaluate our walks, reevaluate where we are. And close is not there. You know, in is in and out is out. And you got to ask yourself, where am I today?
Mm-hmm.
I think about when God asked Adam, where are you? Wasn't it God didn't know where Adam was?
Mm-hmm.
He knew exactly where Adam was. He wanted Adam to know, Adam, where are you? And so that's a question we want to leave you today. As we come back from this break, we're going to talk more about this, what's happening, and jihad in America. We're living in serious days, but I tell you, if we have a walk with God, listen, you and God are a majority. These are the most fascinating, amazing days to walk on the face of the earth. So many biblical prophecies, the convergence of them all. Today's the day of salvation. Today's the day that God can use you to lead so many to the Lord. But you gotta know him first.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.